Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network, a station dedicated to the concept that all manifestations of the divine are equally valid. Join Reverend Terry Power HP, Robin McKean, and all the hosts for programming covering a wide range of spiritual topics right here on Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Under a Shady Tree with Reverend Terry Power and Robin McKean. Come on in. Grab a glass of sweet iced tea and sit right down. These two mountain witches are about to start their talk.
And good evening, everybody. Good afternoon. Good morning. Good wherever in the world you are. You are under a shady tree. This is Reverend Terry Power and my partner, my love, my lady, my wife, Robin. How you doing, darling?
Hi, I'm very good this evening. How are you doing?
I'm home. That's a good night.
It is a good night. I'm always happy when you're home.
I'm not across the state working. I get to work from home tomorrow and be here with the family tonight. This is always good.
Yeah, I love it.
An extra night at home, even if it is a stormy night.
Yeah, it's all right. I'll still take it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, I mean, my best day over there is not as good as any day here. So.
Aw, I agree.
So tonight, kind of excited. We've got Ariana Lightning Storm, interesting name for tonight, somewhat apropos for our weather over here. She's with a group called Kiva. And I'm going to let her, bring her on here in a second, let her tell us about herself and the group. And we're going to be talking with her tonight, and maybe some of the band members will be joining us, maybe not. We'll see what happens. And so let's go ahead and bring on Ariana. How are you doing tonight?
Hi, I'm doing great. How are you?
Oh, dear, like we were just saying, you know, I'm home. It's a good night.
So. Awesome. I understand that.
I work 2 hours away, so it's not practical to drive back and forth every day. So,
understood.
So, getting to work from home one day is always a gift of an extra evening with the family.
That makes sense to me.
So, and I count time away from home as mornings I wake up alone.
That's no fun.
Yeah. So you understand that
it can be peaceful. Yeah.
It's not the nights away from home. It's the mornings you wake up without your partner next to you.
I hear you on that.
So, now you travel a lot, so you get it.
I do.
Ariana, there might be two or three of our listeners out there that are not familiar with you and or Kiva.
Mm-hmm.
So would you enlighten us and Let us know who you are.
Absolutely. So it's now 27 years ago, which is a really long time for a band. I started Kiva. It was I'd been in a band called Pomegranate previously, and that went went the way of the dinosaur. And so I was looking to do something new, and we kind of did our swan song at a festival called Rites of Spring in Boston. Mm-hmm. And after our final major performance, I was like, okay, do I continue doing music? What do I do? So I was in I did a sweat lodge with some other women, and to kind of just ask Spirit, what's next for me? What should I continue? Should I do something else? And the absolute resounding response was that I should continue, both from the women in the lodge and also from Spirit. And literally two people at the festival who were from my area said, if you're starting something new, I want to join. So it was like, you know, the universe was saying, yes, continue. So I did, and I thought about it for a while. And the name Kiva had a bunch of different connections for me. One of the understandings I have before I looked into it and researched it was that it had something to do with transformation and healing and cleansing, and of course, which would tie into the Sweat Lodge. And of course, I wasn't going to call the band Sweat Lodge. It would have been a different band if I did. I thought of, you know, a punk or something. But I called it Kiva because it was a nice single name that kind of said to me sacred space, spirituality, community, and all of that. And then I found out more about how the band was definitely about that, the idea is I wanted to create sacred space with the music. I wanted to create a place. I wanted people to understand what it was like to connect with Spirit with music, and how that worked for me and how I'd done that for years, and I wanted to have people experience that with my music. So I called it something that would have that kind of feel, a sacred space in the ground, circular, connected to Mother Earth, connected to a spiritual tradition. Though I didn't personally have a Native American background, I was just using that concept, sort of like, you know, I could have called it Stonehenge or something. It's just basically the idea is I wanted to use something that evoked that idea of spirituality and connectedness to nature and earth. So that's why I used the name. And that's what started the band. And then I started collecting people. I actually got laid off. Like, I had a vision of an album cover in a dream the night before I got laid off from work and right before the summer festival season. And I said, okay, then I guess I'm supposed to go out and start recruiting people and go out and perform. So I literally went to Starwood that summer and did a workshop, and somebody else played a guitar with me, and we started the process of, and people started joining in, and I did it pretty fast. It just kind of came all together and started having a band. And the one person who's still contiguous from the beginning is my cellist, Diana McFadden, and she's been in the band from the start, although she took a year-ish break when she moved to Texas briefly with a boyfriend and then came back. So now she's back in Maryland.
Did he come back with her?
Really.
Did he come back with her?
No, he stayed there. It was a good thing. She's got a much better boyfriend now. He's also a musician, too, and he's really awesome. We all love him. So she's real happy.
Yeah, go ahead.
She's real happy. She's doing great. She's actually in Maine right now, so that's why she isn't on the phone with us. But she started I started it. She came in pretty quick. A couple other musicians came in. We started doing we did a couple albums. People came and went for a while. I called it the revolving door of the Kiva band members. And then people started showing up and staying. And the band's been pretty stable for about maybe 18 of the 27 years, maybe 19. Sunday was very early on. Yeah. So Diana Sunday was one of the early band members that joined, and then Dave Landis, who they both came in, like, one after the other. The way Diana showed up was really funny. She was in the audience playing a shaker and singing harmonies, and I was like, you know, why don't you do that up here? I brought her up on stage, and she stayed.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really fun.
So you started picking up strings and just making a band.
Yeah, pretty much. And the thing is that these people were the more. It's funny. Every time somebody left with who was quite talented, somebody even more talented showed up. It was just like the band just improved and improved. And we're at a wonderful state where all of us are, you know, we have day jobs and we what I call it, we're professional, and with our, because we get paid to perform, and what I say is we break even. We're not out there to make a living doing this, but we are out there to make a difference, and we make a lot of albums, and so that their music can go out into the world. And now, of course, it's mostly downloads. So
I'm pretty sure.
But
I'm
making
pretty
a
sure
difference matters.
You're talking over each other.
Yep, we do that.
Go ahead.
I was going to say that I'm pretty sure I've seen you guys perform at Brushwood over the years.
Yes, we did. Yes.
Yep.
We were at Starwood, and then when they did Sirius Rising, the actual owners of the land really loved us. So we got to come back a bunch to Sirius Rising, even after Starwood was like, I don't know.
Yeah.
They got tired of us, or I don't know what happened. Anyway, but Sirius hired us, and we came out and played for them a number of times, and that was fun. Such a great place to play. That was such a great land to be at.
Oh, yeah. I love Brushwood. Yeah, it's beautiful.
It is. It's gorgeous there. So that was really pretty awesome.
For those of us that are not familiar with the word Kiva, could you share a little bit more about that? The concepts you were explaining sounded very interesting. I'd like to know more.
Yeah, sure. Well, so a Kiva, and the kind of thing I was thinking when I first started the band, is it started with the Anasazi. They called it something else when they split into the Pueblo and the Hopi. I believe both of them started, especially I think the Pueblos, used what they called a Kiva, and it became a thing for guys only, men only, and it was used in their sand painting ceremonies and their healing rituals and their other ceremonial practices, and they did that in the Kiva. And the Kiva is a circular space in the ground. They would store their food there, and it would also be a gathering space for the tribe's members when there were councils and stuff like that. Previous to that, when it was in the Anasazi, and this is all research I did after I chose the name, there were women's kivas as well, again called something else. I don't know what it was. And I went, after about 2 or 3 years into being having the band, I went to Chaco Canyon and sat and played my shakuhachi, which I don't do as much anymore. It's a Japanese bamboo flute. And I just connected with the spirits there, and I asked, is it okay if I use this name? I know I already started, but is it all right with you? And then I found this, like, I don't know, it was a feather or something special. It's been so many years, I don't remember what it was. But I found something, and I also felt like, yeah, it's okay. So I've been very careful to say that this is not, I'm not saying I'm Native American. I'm not saying I'm passing on any traditions of Native Americans. I'm not talking about being Native American. I'm just using the concept because it's a cool concept. And then since then, I've learned that Kiva is all over the world. There's a Russian Kiva, and there's, I don't know what the name means from Russia, but I do know the Scottish Gaelic name Kiva, or what sounds like Kiva, means what was will be again. So there's many meanings of Kiva around the world, and so it's become a world thing, which makes sense because we're doing music that has a lot of influences from around the world.
Awesome. That's very cool.
Thank you.
You're welcome. So what led you down the path to be a musician early on in life?
Well, my parents met at Eastman School of Music in Rochester, New York, so I was born to it. My mom met there. My mom is the first woman to graduate Eastman as a female trombone player, as opposed to a male one. So my mom, and she's always had me say, with honors. So my mom was, and my aunt's an opera singer, her sister. So music's been in my family ever since. So my parents were talking about the fact that my dad had a jazz band at Eastman, and the laundry basket that they used as a bassinet for me was set on top of the speaker when they were practicing. So I was basically around, and my mom used to turn on the radio and have it play when I was in the crib, so I would have constant music going throughout my whole childhood. So I remember, you know, hearing the radio all the time growing. So music was constantly a part of my childhood. And my mom was, my dad was, didn't go into music as a living when he graduated. He went into special ed teaching and then going up the ladder, and so we moved around a bunch to get him a higher position in the special ed community to do something about what was going on back then and to make it better for folks. My mom stayed in music. She was in the pit orchestra when I was five of Oliver, and I remember I knew all the songs by heart because I would go to those rehearsals and then to the show, and I loved it. The musical, and then when I was about 9 years old, she started teaching elementary school, and she has been a band director in Montgomery County until she retired, so she's now in North Carolina, and she's going to be coming back up here, she hopes. She's trying to sell her house down there so we can get a house together, but she's still teaches trombone. And it's her great love. Music is her great love. So I was taught it by my parents and everything around me when I was a kid.
Now, very cool. So you say your aunt is Barbara Caprilli?
That's her, yep.
Okay.
That's interesting that you know her name. She's, she's an opera singer. She was in Italy for about 15 years. She sang at La Scala, a lot of that, and now she's teaching in Oklahoma at one of the universities whose name I always forget because it's not OCU, it's another one. And she got herself a doctorate in music, and her doctoral thesis was on how to help the female voice transition through menopause and stay strong. And so she has all these techniques now that she teaches in on how for people to keep their voices instead of losing them when they go into menopause. So it's pretty cool.
Interesting. That is awesome.
Cool. So one of the things that brought us to you and you to us, I guess, is your participation upcoming in the second Caldera Fest in 2017.
Yeah, we're very excited about that. I literally negotiated with the founder to come in. It's really funny because I was like, when I started talking to him, I was like, oh yeah, I did a music festival. It was a music and healing festival in Maryland, and I did that for 2 years in a row. It just the money for it went away because of a dispute with his girlfriend at the time. the festival was just blissful for me. It was like I was like as close to a pagan music festival as I have ever gotten. I've been invited to do stuff at Four Quarters, but what I did instead was I started an event called Caradwins, which I did about six or seven times a year. I called it Caradwins Coffee House, and I had all these bands come and play. And so I have a real understanding of what it's like to put on a festival because I've done that, and also how to get musicians to come and work with people. And I did it for about 14 or 15 years and stopped about 10 years ago now. So it's just wonderful to see other people taking up that and going out there and putting on festivals like this. And we sat and talked about how he put it on and what he does for the musicians. And I'm like, wow, you're like me in the South.
Yeah.
I'm really excited to be going to this festival because he's, you know, the guy is just doing a fantastic job of taking care of the musicians.
Yeah.
And all the musicians, I got to tell you, I was at, my band plays at the New York Fairy Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And we were up there at the last one, and all the musicians because a lot of the same musicians go to New York Ferry, they were ranting about how great the festival was, how much fun they had. Oh, we have to go. You have to go to do it next time. You know, so we got a lot of encouragement from, like, S.J. Tucker and other folks up there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it was a great time. We were there with media passes, and it was just – and we promoted it leading up to it.
Cool.
So, yeah, we were just excited about the whole thing, and we're really excited about the second one. We're particularly excited about the rescheduling out of the hottest part of the summer and scheduling it at a slightly cooler time after the summer has ended. So.
Yes, I think that's gonna make it easier for us too, because I think at least a couple of us are heat sensitive, and we would have been falling out in like flies.
Yeah,
because
well,
you know,
it's hot. Let me tell you.
Well, I grew up less than an hour from where that site, from the site where this festival's held.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I grew up in that, but and I mean, I handled it, but you know, a lot of people, it was just brutal, and it will be nicer in the fall. There's no doubt. It will be.
I'm totally looking forward to that.
And the fall colors in that area are beautiful too. So I mean, it's just going to be picturesque as well as a wonderful environment. So I'm really, really looking forward to it.
Me too. And one of the things we decided to do as a group is we're going to most of us pile into a van and just drive down, which will be hugely fun because I don't think we've ever done that as a group. Just all of us gotten in a van together. So this is going to be a tremendous joy for us. We did, I guess it's been, how many years ago, I think? Well, it was in 1999 or 90, like 98 to 99. Some point right around there, we went to England together. Not every single one, not everybody in the band was there. Tigray wasn't in the band yet. But the rest of us went to England together, along with Amakayla, who is a what we call our satellite member. She lives in Oakland, California, and we are bringing her to the festival. We're going to be talking to her next week. But she went with us, and we went and played at the Billingham International Folklore Festival, which mostly the folklore festivals are like based upon a culture, like their dance and their performances from that culture, and they have
mm-hmm.
had these folklore festivals all over the world, and we said yes, we'd like to come, and so they said, well, you get your airfare, we'll take care of the rest. And so we went begging for a year to get it from our audience to get airfare, and we made it. We were able to get enough to make our airfares like $100 a piece or something. It was just tremendously wonderful. And we went out there, and it really tightened us as a group. It really consolidated us because we played like two or three times a day, and we were we really focused on certain songs to make them really, really strong so we could go and do them, you know, without even thinking. And there was this one situation. We were on the stage, and they had us – we were playing one of our songs that Jim played bass on, and – the bass, you know, connection to the bass just wasn't on. So Jim started singing his part. Nobody in the audience knew, but the rest of us were trying not to laugh. It was really great. It sounded awesome, but it was just really funny because that's one of the things that we could just do, you know.
That's cool. That sounds fun. Good for you guys. Being able to improvise in a pinch, you know, that's a good thing.
It's a sign of a band that really has, you know, that's one of the cool things about being together for so long is that we have that kind of connection to each other that we can just fill in. If somebody loses a line or something happens, everyone kind of just jumps right in and knows what to do.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. So tonight, speaking of the band being tight,
mm-hmm.
the song we're going to play tonight is... There's a special story, I guess, goes with the writing and the creation of this song and even the message, if I understand correctly.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So it's the title track of we have put out two albums since then, but it was in 2006 that we put this album out along with a chant album that I did with Amakayla. And this album is called Out of the Corner of the Eye. A lot of people call it Out of the Corner of My Eye, but it's not. It's Out of the Corner of the Eye because I wanted to make it more universal. So I titled it that way. And what happened was that we were doing a lot of fairy festivals at the time, so we did a lot of songs on that album that are fae-oriented, spirits and nature beings and things like that. So we had themes that were like that, and this song is very much about that. And what happened was that Jim started playing a bass line that really was catchy, and everybody started jamming with him. And I whipped out a piece of paper and pen and started writing furiously and fast, because the words just came to me and the melody just came to me while all of this was happening. And I said, you know, when they slowed down, I said, keep going. I kept writing. And then I got it together, and then I started singing it. And it happened literally that fast. It was one of those pieces. Now, of course, it was refined beyond that, and we started performing it. We refined it in our performances, and it got its final form in the studio, where we were able to kind of figure out how we wanted to put everything together. It was a lot of fun to do, and there's a lot of cool stuff in this song.
One was written by the band.
Yes, the whole band wrote it, because Jim started the music and started the bass. He's the bass player, and he plays guitar, mandolin, silver flute, penny whistles, electric bass, drums, sings, and pretty much if you put an instrument in front of him, he could probably play it. He's one of those kind of musicians, and he started it off, and then the rest of the band just jumped right in. Diana McFadden plays cello and mandolin, guitar, cello, mandolin, and guitar mostly. And then Sunday, I got two Dianas in the band. She plays guitar and drums and sings. She's phenomenal with coming up with harmonies. And she's the one who's going, hey, yeah, hey, yeah, at the end of the song. She does the hey, yeah, yeah, it's at the very end of the song. That's her singing. And she does lots of wonderful harmonies. And Amakayla sings beautiful harmonies, and she plays drum as well. And then Tigray is our master percussionist. He's amazing. Andy also has this beautiful, beautiful voice, beautiful tenor, male tenor. And then we have a didge player who's now in Boston, so he's another Satellite and a member now. His name is Tim, and he plays didgeridoo and sings, and he's fun to have in the group too. And Dave Landis is our Native American flute player. He also plays penny whistle as well, and drums and sings, and he's written a couple of songs that we do as well. So that's the whole group.
Well, very cool. So is there a story behind the song itself, or is it just the writing of it that's so special?
The story behind the song is really the concept for me is I do something called rebirthing breathwork. It's a breathing technique that heals. And so just a step away, just a breath away is a phrase that's in the song, and the idea is that you can only do things one step at a time, one breath at a time, one thought at a time. And, you know, we may think our thoughts are jumbled and we're thinking many things at once, but truly we're really doing one thing at a time. And if you do things one step at a time, one breath at a time, one thought at a time, you can really get clear and ease comes into one's life. So that was part of the concept of the words behind the song. And I was just thinking of all the, you know, the fae and just kind of the feeling of that. And so that just, and literally it kind of channeled through me. Was how it kind of came up. So the writing of the song was really the theme of the song was just being connected to these ancient beings that have been here forever, nature spirits, and, you know, just really just knowing that whether we see them or not, they're always here. And, you know, that's the thing, that's the concept behind the song, is that these beings are have been and will be present, you know, and they just, we just, if we look, we might see them, especially if we don't kind of look directly at them. We might see them out of the corner of our eye.
Okay. Well, that is a great introduction.
Thank you.
So without any further conversation, let's go ahead and play Out of the Corner of the Eye by Kiva. And then we got to pay the bills and stuff. We'll be back in a few minutes. Stick around.
Okay.
Just a step away. International Pagan Radio, a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week streaming radio station. We have informative Facebook page, interactive Facebook group, absorbing interviews with musicians, engaging shows with excellent hosts, and dynamic interviews with spiritual leaders. Come join us. We have the very best pagan music from around the world. We feature artists such as Dave the Bard, S.J. Tucker, Murphy's Midnight Rounders, Elaine Silver, Izon, Brian Hinkey, Robin Renee, Fawn, and so many more, all available for your listening pleasure 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We are also available on TuneIn Radio, so go to www.internationalpaganradio.com. It's all pagan, all the time.
There is one power in the universe, and we are perfect manifestations of that power.
And as such, we pray. We pray for peace. We pray for love. We pray for stability. We pray for the nation in which we live. We pray for the world.
We will it. We manifest it. We draw it to us. We receive it. We accept it. And we give thanks for it. And by our will, so mote it be.
You're listening to Terry and Robin on the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. We're glad you're here. Now, back to the show.
We'll move you to Virginia.
I love that music. And welcome back, everybody. This is Reverend Terry Power, and you are under a shady tree with Terry and Robin. How you doing there, Donna?
Hi, yeah, I love the song. That was a great song. Hi.
Say again?
I said I loved the song. It was a good song.
Yeah, it really
song
was
played
great.
Break, you know?
Yeah. Ariana, did you make it back?
I'm here.
All right. Now, I asked that because with Blog Talk Radio, that's not a given.
Yeah, I know, I know.
So, thanks for sticking around during the break. Wow, what a wonderful song.
Thank you.
Thank you for sharing that with us.
Absolutely. Happy to do so.
So what have you got coming up? I mean, you know, Caldera Fest is a year away, so what you got going on between now and then?
Well, right now what we have scheduled is we'll be in Greenbelt, Maryland at the New Deal Cafe on Sunday, December 11. And we're also going to be at the New York Fairy Festival next year, whenever that is. And those are the two things I know of besides Caldera Fest. I'm sure more stuff will show up as it comes, but we're more often now doing recordings and putting them out on the internet. And we're planning actually on taking what I'm calling our odds and ends and putting together, because all these download songs that we've just put individual download pieces up on the internet, on CD Baby specifically, and they basically going to take all those songs, put them together into one album and call them Odds and Ends.
Well,
so that people can have a physical CD if they want one. We're working on three songs right now, and we're going to add two more to that list. So we're going to have five songs at least. By the time we're done, of new stuff that we've been working on and new pieces and stuff we've done for a while but hadn't recorded yet. So a couple of really beautiful songs that were one of them was gifted to us. I think it's on the same album. So on the same album, Out of the Corner of the Eye, is a song called Rise Up the Call, which was given to us by a guy named Jim Noland. And it's beautiful. And Tigre sings lead. It was the first song he sang lead on. And we're going to do another song by the same guy called For Love is Waiting. And it's about a sailor who's out to sea, and it's kind of this very story. You can really see them thinking about each other, the woman who's on land waiting for her partner to come back from the sea, and he's wishing he was with her, and it's getting wintry, and it's just a really, really pretty song, and I really love it. So we're going to do that, and Tigre and I are going to sing a duet on that. So
nice.
Well, I look forward to hearing that. It kind of sounds like some of our travels, my travels around the world, and wishing I was back home with my lady and my little girl. So
exactly. So it's a very very poignant song, and it's beautiful. And so I'm looking forward to recording it, because we've performed it for a number of years, but we haven't put it on a recording. So that'll be really nice. And I just talked to Jim, and he said, "Oh, that's a great idea. I can't wait to hear it." So he's excited about hearing our version of it.
Well, excellent. So when you get ready to release that, let us know. And depending on the schedule, we might have you back on UNT Grid to talk about it.
Cool. And, of course, we've got – Kiva has 10 albums out. They're all on CD Baby, and you can get them directly from us. Many of them are out of physical print. And are available download only, and several of them are still gettable by CD if you get those, you know, antiquated discs. I was talking to one gal who I work with at the store where I do readings on Wednesdays. I'm also I do palmistry and tarot. I've been doing that for over 35 years professionally, and I do handwriting analysis. And something called lipsology, which is the art and science of reading lip prints. There's only 8 of us in the world, and I'm the only one in the D.C. area right now. So it's a really fun and different thing, and I'd love to chat with you about that, you know, on a future date if you want.
Sure.
Because it's so unique and different, and it's really, really fun. And I was on the Dr. Oz show in the whole nine yards, so it's been pretty cool. But there's so I lost track because whenever I think about that, it takes me off my center. But we have 10 albums out. You can download almost any of them. The gal who was talking. So there was this gal who's maybe in her early 20s. She said, "I never owned a single physical copy of anything." And I'm like,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I'm still trying to convince myself to let go of my LP records, okay?
Yeah,
so.
Me too. They're down in my basement.
Yeah, absolutely. I still have a record player in my living room.
I started to collect the CDs that are the newer version of these albums and that I have down in my basement, and I am thinking seriously about when I move, taking those to the used vinyl store to sell so that people who love vinyl can have it. And because I haven't played any of these things for, I don't know, 15 or 20 years.
Yeah,
so.
I am still of the opinion that vinyl sounds better. It's warmer.
Mm-hmm.
It's every pop, every click, every hiss. It's like an old friend when you put that record on. You know where every single one is, and it becomes ingrained into the music for you. I don't know. I just miss vinyl terribly. Made people listen to the entire album instead of going, "Oh no, I only like track 3, 6, and 12." You know,
right?
That I hate that when people do that. I'm like, "Can't you listen to the whole album, please?" Yeah,
absolutely.
And sometimes the whole album tells a story.
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them, like Kate Bush's, her Hounds of Love, Ninth Wave album. That whole half of the album, the second side, is all about, you know, this whole cycle of experience starting, you know, it's about someone who's drowning in the ocean because their boat capsized, and they're having all these memories of when they were almost drowned as a kid, drowned in a past life, all these other kinds of things. And it's this sequence of events that if you listen to it out of order, you don't get the power of it. you know. And yeah, there's a lot of bands back that did Cycle Stories. There's one of my the musicians from Genesis did an album. It's called A Curious Feeling, and the whole album, half of it is A Curious Feeling. Is like half of the album is a story about this. Actually the whole thing. That one's the whole thing. I'm thinking the other one. But yeah, so the whole album is. It's like this Greek myth, and it's like one of these tragedies. It's like a Greek tragedy, the whole story, and it talks about the fates and everything else. And it's so powerful, but you have to listen to the entire album, you know. And it's just amazing. So yeah, I'm all for listening to the entire, you know, to get the whole story, you know, not have one song, just one song tell the story, but the entire album telling the story is a whole other level of powerful.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, you know, I grew up in the 60s, and that was, you know, that whole, I could name off the top of my head, you know, five or six or seven albums that you had to listen to the whole album because it was a piece of work from beginning to end, you know.
Right.
You know, Utopia, Todd Rundgren, 2112 Rush, you know, Tommy, The Who. I mean, just, it was
of course.
That's the one I was going to mention, was Tommy.
Yeah, well, I mean,
you know,
that's Pete Townsend was just Pete Townsend was definitely doing that, and he didn't get to do as much as he wanted to back then, but he was that was definitely one of his biggest pieces. That and the other one he did about being schizophrenic. Yeah, Quadrophenia.
Yeah.
That's it. Yeah, and all of that that whole album is another big set of stories that connect the band into it as well. So.
Yep. Is, and that's sort of been lost with the advent of CDs. People just go, oh, I like track two, and they listen to that, and then they put in another CD, or they, you know, they program it in so that they listen to CD number four, and they listen to the two tracks on that, and then they listen to two tracks on CD number five, and it's just, I don't know, music is losing its cohesiveness, I guess, for me, but...
Yeah, it's just a new way of people listening to things, and that's one of the reasons that I put our stuff up as downloadable, because, I mean, people are just not buying CDs anymore. I've got, and of course I have tapes. I have hundreds of tapes in my closet downstairs, and
cassette,
I'm like...
Cassette or 8-track?
Cassette, not 8-track. I didn't go that far.
Okay.
These are not that I bought. These are the... Darkiva tapes, they're band tapes. And every time I go to, because Greenbelt has a lot of people who are older and have, you know, the ability to play tapes, I basically just bring a handful and give them away now. Because I'm like, I want people to have them if they want them.
Sure.
I'll probably do that at Caldera. I'll bring a basket, a box full of tapes and see if they want.
That'd be awesome.
Ariana, darling, this has been wonderful hanging out with you. Now, just www.kivasong.com is the easiest way to get in touch with you guys.
That's our website. We're also on Facebook as Kiva as well. I think it's still Kiva Song because I think, you know, nowhere I've ever been has got access to everything, but yeah. And, yeah, that's the easiest way. If you go there, you can find everything else. You can link out to the Facebook page and all that.
Okay. So www.kivasong.com. Go there and check everything out.
Or Kiva Song on Facebook.
Okay. All right. Well, anything, one or two minutes that you want to say that we didn't touch on yet?
Oh, gosh. Our latest album is called Yuletide. It's not Christmas songs. It's winter songs. And some of the songs are pagan and some of them are carols. But that's our latest album, and in some ways it's one of the best albums we've done. There's a lot of beautiful music on there. And I ask people to listen to it to get a sense of it because it's pretty amazing. And the one before that is called Kiva So Far, a 20-year adventure. We recorded it when we were 20 instead of 27. And that album is not a best of. It's just what we were performing at the time. And so it's got a just pictures from our whole history, but it's about we've come this far kind of concept. And so there's a lot of great pieces on there as well, a lot of the stuff we were performing at the time. And so there's a lot of good stuff on there. So those are two things that I would love to say is our latest two albums are, we talked about one 3 albums ago, and this is the most recent one was last, I think we released it last year. It was, where is it?
No, we released it 2014, yes.
Yeah, 2014, yeah, that's where it is. So that's what we did, so, yeah. Great.
Yeah, very cool. Well, thank you very much for being with us and sharing everything. This has been a good night.
You're quite welcome, absolutely. And I look forward to talking again next week with Ami.
Yeah, I was going to say, and of course, a week from tonight, Ami will be with you, and I will be talking about Ocean Gaia.
Yes. I was going to say, Mother, in a long time ago, in 1994, I recorded an album called Mother Wisdom, which is all chants, original and traditional chants, mostly oriented towards the Divine Mother. And I, some of them I've written, some of them are traditional, as if that's why it says that. And it literally has gone all over the world. And people have heard that album before they met me and became friends with me and used it for massage or whatever. And there's a lot of percussive stuff. There's a lot of pretty stuff. But with Ocean Gaia, we did, and I'll say this again next week, but with Ocean Gaia, Ami and I wanted to do a next album in that kind of concept, take it further. And she brought a bunch of chants to the table, and I brought a bunch of chants to the table, and we put it together. That's wonderful.
Very
I love
cool.
chants. Yeah.
We'll look forward to talking with you again next week. We're at the point in the show where we need to Robin needs to tell all of our listeners how to get in touch with us.
Absolutely.
Thanks. And this is my entire purpose for being here.
It is not.
I'm teasing. The best way to reach Terry or myself via email is to write us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com. We both check that email address, and feel free to in the subject put the why what you're writing us about. You can also find us on our Facebook page at Little Stone Bridge Pathworkings. And most of the time when people are looking for us to come to an event or hold a workshop or some of our private services like spiritual counseling, I'm a holistic health coach, a certified holistic health coach. I can talk tonight. Health coach, then you can reach us at that address for those services. If you're just want to hang out and say hi or whatever, you can also find us on Facebook. My Facebook page is Robin A. McKean, and Terry's is Rev Terry Power HP. You can reach us at either one of those pages. And also, Terry's going to now tell us the email address for the radio station. So if you have something specific about the radio station, you listened one night and you heard this great song and you can't remember the name of it or who the artist was, you can certainly write to us and we'll try to help you. If you have a question you'd like us to address on the air, if you have an idea for a show, if you're somebody who'd like to be on our radio broadcast, feel free to write us at, and Terry will say it.
It is stern.org@gmail.com. That is stern.org@gmail.com.
Yep, because I can never remember it. I never say it right. So there you have it. And you know how to get in touch with us now.
Yeah, and also there's the Spiritual Unity Radio Network Facebook page.
Yeah, that one too.
So when you go to any of those pages, they'll like them and let us know that you're around and that what we're doing is meaningful to you. Let's see, some programming notes. Programming notes. Next week, on Monday, Hercules and Athena, Voice of Olympus, will be. The topic will be Tenemos 2. And then Tuesday the 16th, we will be doing a full moon ritual here on the air. And as we've already mentioned, a week from tonight, on the 18th, Ariana will be back with Ami, and they will be talking about the group Ocean Gaia and hanging out for another hour. So this will be cool. We get to have more time. The following week, on the 22nd, Voice of Olympus will be putting your intuition to work. And then on the 23rd, on Tuesday, Robin and I will be continuing our series on the ritual components, breaking it down and talking about what we do and why we do it. And we will be talking about choosing deity for the ritual. Now, what deity are you going to call? This might actually be one of the more lively conversations, because Robin and I don't completely agree on this. So, if you want to hear Robin and I argue on the air, tune in on the 23rd. It's going to be fun. And then on the 25th, 2 weeks from tonight, we will be talking with David Benash about Caldera Fest. And this will be the first time we've spoken with him on the air since the last one, and we'll be talking about the upcoming Caldera Fest 2017. So I think that's enough intro, but I do want to let everybody know that on the first Thursday of every month, we're going to start carving out a night for Robin and I to talk about whatever it is we want to talk about. Sometimes it's going to be an Ask a Witch show. Sometimes it's going to be whatever's stuck in our craw that week. And sometimes it'll just be fun. Whatever it is, it will be lively and entertaining, so you don't want to miss those. But if you have Ask a Witch questions, email them to us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com and put Ask a Witch question in the subject line. We get a lot of email. So help us out with the subject line. That's what it's there for. But if you've got Ask a Witch questions you would like for us to answer on the air, go ahead and email us at littlestonebridge@gmail.com.
Remind folks the Perseid meteor shower is tonight.
That's right. It is. The Perseid meteor shower is tonight, and it's supposed to be awesome. If you're somewhere where you can actually see it, unfortunately, here in Pennsylvania, I've got clouds, so we're not going to be able to see it, but it's supposed to be awesome tonight.
Yeah, from midnight to dawn, it's supposed to be its best, and it's supposed to be, like, amazingly, like, twice what it usually is because of Jupiter pulling stuff into our orbit.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, cool. Well, maybe the clouds will clear out of here because it was kind of broken clouds, so maybe we'll get a little bit of break in the clouds. And which direction are we supposed to be looking?
I think straight up. That's what I mean, from looking at what NASA said, it's all the whole sky.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent.
But if you want to check, check on NASA's website. They'll probably have more information.
All right.
Thanks.
Very cool, Ariana. Thank you. Robin, was there anything else?
No, I just wanted to say thanks to Ariana for being with us. I look forward to talking to her again next week with Ami. And as always, spread the love.
Okay. And with that, I will wish you all a week filled with love and with wonder. Good night, everyone, and blessed be.
Night.
Good night.
Thanks for listening to the Spiritual Unity Radio Network. Join us 7 nights a week for exciting programming covering a variety of expressions of faith. And remember, all manifestations of the divine are equally valid.